Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Just 24 hours after being found guilty of sexual abuse, former US President Donald Trump showed no signs of contrition last night when he spoke at an hour-long town hall meeting on CNN. Instead, he mocked his accuser, repeated his false claims about the 2020 election being rigged, and said he would pardon a large portion of his supporters who were jailed for storming the US Capitol. In 2016, Mr. Trump famously said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and still he wouldn't lose any voters. But will this latest conviction prove too much for some voters in the year ahead? Well, Mick Mulvaney was Donald Trump's acting chief of staff. He joins us now on the line. Mick, were you surprised, first of all, that Donald Trump went ahead with that public appearance so soon after that very bad news, that conviction in New York?
No, not at all. I understand how the president works a little bit. And he set this meeting up, the CNN televised hearing, several months ago. So it was a pure coincidence that it happened within 24 hours after the end of the trial, or at least the jury decision in the trial. And Trump is famous for not canceling events. He perceives it to be a sign of weakness or a sign of boorish behavior. So no, it does not surprise me at all that he went forward with it.
The New York Times is reporting that recent prep sessions with his advisors descended into chaos. I don't know, does that surprise you, or do you think it's even possible to prep Donald Trump?
It's possible to do some, but I read the same report and I was thinking to myself, yeah, I know what that looks like. We try and prep, and he does some prep. He still believes, and to a certain extent, he's right that he's at his best when he's doing things off the cuff. I don't think he did very well with that last night. But generally speaking, yeah, he does some prep, but not much. And the part about devolving into yelling at aides and stuff is something that sounded familiar to me.
Before we get into detail as to what he said last night, we might just look briefly back at Tuesday night's sexual abuse and defamation conviction. Do you think, or how do you think, that will affect Donald Trump's chance of securing, firstly, the Republican nomination?
Well, I think probably helps him. He's able to turn it into a positive. He's able to use that very weak and politically motivated charge against him in the criminal case in Manhattan as sort of a precursor to say that all of the actions against him are politically motivated. And it's going to probably help him in the Republican primary. It will hurt him, to anticipate your next question, hurt him in a general election, as he will continue to shed suburban housewife voters, women voters. It doesn't add a single person to your electorate, to your voting base, to be found guilty of or found liable for sexual assault.
To your voter base, but it does in the Republican voter base, is what you're saying.
No, the Republican voter base, most of the folks, keep in mind, about 35 to 40% of the Republican voter base was going to vote for him no matter what. That's why he's vulnerable in a one-on-one race, but he's not vulnerable running against five or six people, as it looks as though he will. That 35 to 40% are the folks that would vote for him, even if he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue, as you mentioned in your introduction. So they either don't care about the result in the sexual abuse case, or they don't believe it. They think that it was fake news, to use the president's words.
And if we just stay with that sexual abuse case then, because Donald Trump was asked about that last night on CNN, and I mean, what he didn't say really about Jeanne Carroll, he claimed she was promiscuous for going into a dressing room at a department store with them, and also he claimed he'd never met her. He complained that he hadn't been allowed to introduce the name for Pet as evidence against her at trial. He referred to her accusation of rape as hanky-panky. And the crowd of Republican voters through it all chuckled and cheered. I just wonder, can you give us any insight into the mindset of Republican voters?
Again, not all Republican voters. This was a Trump crowd last night. Keep in mind that this was part of the Republican primary work in New Hampshire. This was not a cross-section of New Hampshire voters. So this was a heavily Trump-leaning crowd. In fact, CNN, the network that ran it last...
We may have lost McMillan. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Mick. Your line just dropped out there briefly. Go on ahead.
Yeah. But one of the things they've been criticized for was loading the audience with pro-Trump people. Of the nine people that asked questions last night, seven voted for Donald or Trump audience. And again, those are the folks who just really don't care. He could shoot somebody and they would still vote for him.
Okay, so when Chris Licht, who's CEO of CNN, he's been coming under quite a lot of fire for what we saw yesterday and for CNN's hosting and formatting of the town hall. He said today, while we all may have been uncomfortable hearing people clapping, that was also an important part of the story, because he said a large swathe of America are represented by those folks. Do you think that's wrong? That there's not a large number... Go on.
Half the people in the country voted for Donald Trump, just under half, right? So, I mean, that's not necessarily the folks who are in that room. But to Chris Licht's point, he's coming under a tremendous amount of criticism from the mainstream press here, most of whom are left-leaning and didn't like the fact that he gave Trump any podium at all last night to speak. So I think that the interesting part that I'll be looking for...
Sorry about that, Mick. I just wanted to ask you about Donald Trump's comments last night about the war in Ukraine, because he wouldn't say whether or not he wanted Ukraine to win the war. He wouldn't say whether or not he thought Vladimir Putin was a war criminal. He said, I don't think in terms of winning and losing. I think in terms of getting it settled. They're dying. Russians and Ukrainians are dying. I want them to stop dying, and I'll have that done in 24 hours. I wonder, what do you think, with your knowledge of how he thinks of Russia, he will do if he gets into office when it comes to Russia?
Now, I thought it was one of his lowest points last night not to be able to at least say that he would like to have Ukraine's sovereignty restored and their territory restored. One of the weakest, probably 2 or 3 minutes of his debate last night. He tried very hard to sort of explain why he wasn't going to decry Putin as a war criminal, saying that would be more difficult than to enter into negotiations. I suppose that's defensible at some level. But to sort of see a moral equivalency between the two countries, I thought was an extremely weak point for him. No one believes him when he says he'll settle it in a day. That's part of the Trump bombast. He's made similar claims in the past. But it was a very difficult couple of minutes, no question.
One of the things he has said in the last couple of weeks in a separate interview with Sean Hannity in relation to this topic is that, again, he said he would have negotiated a deal. And he said, and I'll quote, "At worst, I could have made a deal to take over something. There are certain areas that are Russian-speaking areas, frankly, but you could have worked a deal," suggesting that he would have, you know, negotiated to give away Ukrainian territory. Is that something that you think he would do?
I did not see that interview in the past. My guess is it doesn't make any difference because it wouldn't happen. I think it is fair to say that you can have an interesting academic discussion about whether or not Russia would have invaded Ukraine if Trump had been president. Trump is so famously unpredictable that sometimes that brings a halting stability to international sort of affairs. So you can have that discussion, but I don't think he would have negotiated anything because he has no credibility with Putin and had very little credibility with Zelensky. So no, I thought that was more bluster last night, designed mostly for the Republican primary voter.
What I'm wondering is, do you think Vladimir Putin is rubbing his hands at the prospect of Donald Trump getting back to the White House?
No, I don't think it changes things very much.
I want to ask you briefly about President Biden's comments yesterday. He said the purpose of his trip to Ireland last month was to, quote, make sure the Brits didn't screw around with peace in Northern Ireland and didn't walk away from their commitments. Sammy Wilson, one of the Northern Irish unionists, has said today that those comments are unbelievable and frightening to think he is leader of the free world. What do you think of them?
I thought it was absurd, and I thought it was an embarrassment. Of course, now you're seeing why they don't let Joe Biden out to talk much in public. This was an unscripted environment. They thought it was sort of off the record and private. It turns out nothing in our business is off the record and private. And it was a really, really foolish, stupid thing to say. I can't imagine something. I guess I can imagine something more incendiary than that. But certainly when it comes to gaffes that have real world implications, this is high on the list.
Mick Mulvaney, Donald Trump's acting chief of staff, or former acting chief of staff. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.